Hello, and welcome to the Oasis Church podcast. This episode is part of our series, Shepherd King, exploring the life of David. Together, we'll be following the story of someone known as a man after God's own heart, through his highs and his lows, from field to wilderness to palace. As we do, we'll discover how, in both his successes and his failures, David points us to Jesus, the true King come to change everything for everyone. Thanks for joining us. Today's reading is taken from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 22, verses 1 to 5, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. So David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. Soon his brothers and all his other relatives joined him there. Then others began coming, men who were in trouble or in debt or who were just discontented, until David was the captain of about 400 men. Later, David went to Mizpah in Moab, where he asked the king, "Please allow my father and mother to live here with you until I know what God is going to do for me." So David's parents stayed in Moab with the king during the entire time David was living in his stronghold. One day, the prophet Gad told David, "Leave the stronghold and return to the land of Judah." So David went to the forest of Hereth.
Good morning, one and all. If you don't know me, my name is Adrian, and I'll be taking us through from this point on, like, hello online, hello downstairs, hello upstairs. Very nice to see everyone. We're in this series looking at the wonder of this shepherd king, David, who points us to the ultimate shepherd king, Jesus. And I'm hoping that we're going to see that what's just been read over us so excellently by Jules ties in with everything that God has already been speaking to us through our time of worship. As what we discover is David is on the run. David is a king in waiting, but the king who is in power at this point, Saul, is deeply threatened by the presence of David and actually wants David gone. He wants him dead. He wants him murdered. And so David seeks to not kind of bring that to a head and to cause Saul to kind of be a split of the whole of the kingdom with you, with David, or with your Saul, but rather David runs away. And in running away, is looking for a place of safety. He's looking for shelter. He's looking for protection, comfort, restoration. He's looking for refuge. And the danger of the story of David is it's just very fast-paced. And this chapter, if we weren't careful, we could just read the whole part, and then we'd be spinning on to the next part of the story. But as I read into this, I just felt this prompt by God that we need to linger on these first five verses and to slow down. Because I believe that in these five verses, what we find is that David finds refuge. He finds refuge, a place where he can know shelter, safety, protection, comfort, and restoration. And in that place, I believe God wants to use this moment as we walk through this story slowly to just invite you and I to know profound refuge, to know the refuge that God is able to provide us. And I don't want us to miss like what God has already been doing in our worship, that those encouragements that God sees us, knows us, that God is wanting to come and meet with us, to restore us. Although that passage that Graham read out, just I was like, yep, this is it. God of grace comes to restore. And that story then of Charlie just sharing just the wonder and beauty of what God has done and is doing in her. I believe God wants to come and meet with us. I don't know how you've come this morning, but I believe God wants to come and meet with every single one of us. And therefore, I just want to pray for us. And just where we are, just why don't you close your eyes, not as a mystic thing, but a way of not getting distracted by other things. I'm just going to ask God to be present. God, we just come and we just open our hearts to you. Father, I thank you that you're one who knows us, who knows the parts of us that we love to reveal, as well as the parts of us that we prefer no one saw, and yet you still love us the same. You love us unconditionally. You long to do us good. That Jesus, your longing for each and every one of us is that we would know you as our shepherd, the one who longs to bring us into more of the life that you have for us, a life that is full and good. That spirit that you're wanting to come and well up from within in this moment, in order that we know that God is with us, in order that we know that you truly are enough. And so I pray, would you come and tenderly meet with each of us? I pray, would you come and would you cause us to know something more of just the refuge you are today? Amen. Place of refuge. That's where I want to start off in the story. We find in 1 Samuel 22:1, it says this: so David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. Like, David's looking for this place of refuge. He's on the run. He's looking to escape Saul. And he's wanting that place that just finally means he can know that he's safe. And he finds it in the most unexpected place. He finds it in a cave. But this cave becomes this place of refuge for him. A place of shelter, of comfort, of a place where he can rest and know restoration. And my guess is, each and every one of us has known or know places of refuge. Do you know those places where you know if you get to that place, like suddenly, like it just feels like, oh, I can just breathe out. Like, I've got friends from other nations where literally this nation is that place. Like, there's coming here, and this nation has become a place of refuge where they feel like, yep, I can just breathe out. And I find that humbling because I think, I don't know if I always see the privilege of living in this nation. But maybe it's not that. Like, for me, my places of refuge are my home. Like, my place of refuge is like, I know when I get into my home, I'm like, yep, that's it. Sometimes I'm a bit naughty. I wear my shoes around the house. I don't know if you're a shoes off house. We kind of are, but because I was brought up, sorry, mom and dad, in a house where, sorry, mom and dad are watching online. I'm not just talking to the air. I was brought in a house where you had to take your shoes off at the door. And as a kind of, I don't know what it is, but there's something in me that I just like, yep, I'm home and I can wear my shoes if I like. So I do that sometimes. It's like, yep, I'm going to wear shoes because I can, because I'm home, because it's refuge. But I've also got this room, a room that I go to once a month in a rhythm of retreat. And it's out of the city, and I go into this room, and literally as I open the door and step in, it's like I just breathe out. And I just know, yep, this is a place of refuge. All the stuff that I've brought with me, yep, that can be left at the door. I can just be here. What about you? What's that place? Maybe it's something you've known. Maybe it's something you know. What's your place of refuge? Why don't we just take for a moment, 30 seconds, turn to someone next to you. Don't go into a massive conversation about, you know, what's your life? When did you get born? None of that. Just literally say, yep, this is the kind of place that I find refuge. Go, share it. If you're online, stick it in the chat. Okay. Can I have your back? Here's the deal. My guess is each of us have got somewhere or have known somewhere. Somewhere that does us good. But the reality is that place that we know that it's a place of escape, of rest, of moments of restoration. Like, the truth is, it's temporary. See, that room I go into once a month, I can't stay there. Well, I could, but it'd get a bit pongy after a while. And probably others would start to phone me saying, like, what are you doing? There's other things to be done. Like, I can't stay in that room. And you see, in us is, I think, this longing to know refuge that lasts. A refuge that isn't just about a location, but is with us all the time. And for David, you find the same. You see, he knew this place of refuge in the cave. But actually, because we've got the beauty of the wonder of the Bible, that the story we're reading through 1 Samuel, that flicks through to 2 Samuel, actually is picked up in different parts of the Bible. And we find that David is this prolific songwriter. A songwriter who continuously is writing songs of his experiences in different moments of his life that reveal something about the wonder of what he was knowing. And in this moment in the cave of Adullam, he points to the wonder of the refuge that he ultimately knew. And so the next part of the story I want to look at is that David knew songs of refuge. Songs of refuge, you find it in Psalm 57, Psalm 142. Both of those psalms, commentators reckon, were written in this period while David is in the cave. Psalm 57, 1 says this, "Have mercy on me, O God, have mercy. I look to you for protection. I will hide beneath the shadow of your wings until the danger passes by." Psalm 57, 1, "Then I pray to you, O Lord, I say, you are my place of refuge. You are all I really want in life." Yep, the cave was the place of escape. But David knew it was temporary. And he knew the ultimate place he finds refuge in is God. You see, for David, he knew that the wonder of God being his refuge meant that he found comfort in being hidden in the safety of who God was. He found safety in God's protection. He felt shelter in God's presence and rest and restoration in God being enough. And that wonder of the refuge that David knew of God in the cave was a refuge he knew that would happen when he had to leave the cave. You see, there gets a moment, you see it in verse 5, where someone who's around and gets gathered to him, we'll come onto that in a moment, kind of says, "Hey, David, I think it's time to leave." And David goes. And yet he knows that the ultimate source of his refuge is with him. You find it in Psalm 23, where he can't help but just say, "Yep, darkest valley, I know you're with me. Presence of my enemy, I know you're with me." David knew this wonder of the refuge that he so needed was God, and God was always present with him. And the same is true for us. The invitation is that we get to know that God longs for you and I to know that he is our refuge. That he's our refuge wherever we are, whatever is going on. You see, God has forever proclaimed that he is our refuge by sending his son Jesus to live, die, and rise again. You see, there's many ways you look at the wonder of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, but one of the ways, one of the lenses, is to look at it that Jesus has come to reveal that he is our refuge. That Jesus comes and enters into our world of its brokenness and darkness in order that through his death, he would proclaim that he now is the vehicle and place of refuge, that through his resurrected life, he would say, "Hey, come all of you who are looking for refuge and find it in me," in order that you would know a life not governed by darkness, not governed by brokenness, but rather one that is governed by light and wholeness, that Jesus is forever proclaiming, "I am your refuge. Will you receive me? because I'm with you. But along with the songs of refuge, we also find that there is the welcome of refuge. See, what David knew, he shares. 1 Samuel 22, 1-2 says this, "Soon his brothers and all his other relatives joined him there. Then others began coming, men who were in trouble or in debt or who were just disconnected." See, David's place of refuge gets heard about, and others start to seek it out to find refuge there. We find, firstly, his family. His family come, his brothers, his parents come to find refuge with David. You see, if we were to read on in the story in chapter 22, we'd discover that there's this most barbaric, dark, ugly episode that follows this, where we find that Saul discovers that the priest that we looked at last week that showed David mercy did that. And Saul, in finding out this priest has shown David mercy, is so threatened by his connection to David, he says, well, that's it. He needs to be gone. And then commands someone to kill this priest and everyone connected with this priest. And you read it and you just think, this is utterly disturbing. And it's meant to disturb us. It's meant to cause us to look at it and go, yep, when we feel threatened and we want to do people harm, yeah, that's ugly. And yet it isn't often that I want to go and go out killing people. I don't do that. I wouldn't be here if I did that. But sometimes we can consume things in our hearts that Jesus said, oh yeah, what you think, what you feel, oh, that's the same. And I found that deeply uncomfortable. This is just an aside point. I have to say, yep, I want to keep dealing with that stuff because I want to allow my heart to go to the extents that Saul's did. But here you look at it and you think, right, okay, so David's family come and gather. Why? Because, like, Saul was a threat. Saul saw anyone connected with David now as someone who needed to have the same destiny as David, someone who needed to die. And therefore, David's family come and say, can we find refuge with you? You then find there's this other group of people. It's described as an unlikely group. Those who are in trouble, or that word could be translated as distressed. Those in debt, or you could translate it as in need. Those who are discontented, or you could translate it as bitter with life. This kind of group that everyone else might write off. Say, hey, we want to go there. We want to find refuge there. And what we find is that David doesn't send his family off, doesn't send this group of kind of misfits off, but rather says, yep, come. Come and you are welcomed here to find refuge. Because David realizes the refuge he knows here is one to be shared, but ultimately the refuge that he knows is God, and God is one who's always looking to welcome everyone in order they'd know the refuge he's able to offer. And this is good news for us. This is such good news for us. You see, Jesus is continually longing to draw you and I to the refuge that he is. Are you feeling weak, vulnerable, weary, troubled, despairing, broken, in need, rejected, hopeless? Jesus says, welcome, and always will. And some of us, it's like, yep, I'm family. I've centered my life on Jesus. And we're quick then to come and say, Jesus, I need more of you. I need you to be my place of refuge. I have to keep coming back to that point. I just keep coming back saying, Jesus, I need you again today to be my refuge. Maybe it's that we've come and we say, well, I wouldn't say I'm family. I'm just looking. I'm looking in saying, I'm longing for refuge. And for us, the invitation is, yep, Jesus is able to offer it. Jesus is longing to cause you to know the wonder and beauty of the refuge that he's able to offer. And all you have to do is say, with a little I understand, Jesus, I receive you. But it doesn't stop here. That'd be good enough, wouldn't it? It'd be good enough to just think, yep, we get to know refuge. That David and his family and all of these different people connected in, they get to know refuge. And we'd be like, yeah, that's a kind of good end to this part of the story. But there's this other bit where we find that they're transformed in the refuge. Verse 2 at the end of chapter 22, it says this, David was the captain of about 400 men. You see, the pace of which we read, I don't know about you, how you read, but you're often like pacing through and you're going, yep, 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 in the cave, yep, stuff's happened, weird bunch of people gather, yep, seems kind of good, captain 400, fine, carry on, what's the next part of the story? But we need to pause on there. When on earth did David become the captain of 400 men? Because what that's pointing to is David becoming the captain of an army. What army? Well, the army in the cave. You see, here's the wonder and beauty. This group of individuals who gathered in their varying degrees of need and brokenness knew the wonder and comfort of the refuge that David showed them. Both that the cave offered, but the God who was there to be found as the one who brings utter refuge. And in them experiencing that comfort, it wasn't just left there. They were then transformed in this period. And we can tend to think, all right, this is like one day David arrives, next day a load of other people arrive, third day, get on, go and hide out in some forest. No, we're not given a period of time. It's just this stuff going on for a prolonged period of time where God is doing something in the individuals here in order that they're transformed for a bunch of people who were broken in varying degrees to this functioning army that kind of was able to be transformed and leave, knowing still Saul was after them and there was an enemy that was still against them. You can read about some of them. Towards the end of David's life, 2 Samuel, verse chapter 23, it starts to talk about just the wonder of some of these individuals and just the mighty exploits they get onto. Nuts things, absolutely nuts things. And the danger is we kind of single those people out because we all like a celebrity and we think, oh yeah, there's these 30, there was 3 and there was 30 who just seem to be exceptional within this. But that misses the point because it was all of them. All that were gathered were transformed in this place of refuge into an army. That yes, David was leading, but it was an army that had been formed. And the same is true for us, that Jesus longs to do the same for us. Jesus meets us in our need for refuge and brings us comfort, shelter, protection. But he doesn't leave us there. He begins to transform our lives to be ones where we get to know rest, hope, love, joy, and profound purpose of knowing and showing him in all we are and all we do. You know what your purpose is in life? Your purpose is to know more of Jesus and to show more of Jesus in everything that makes up your life. You see, my story is one where age 14, a tall, skinny kid that I was, fearful, wondering, realized that Jesus was the refuge I needed for the peace that I longed for. And as I gave myself to Jesus, he came and gave me peace. He brought comfort. But the wonder in reality is that as I've known Jesus as my refuge, age 14, and at the moment I'm doing lots of reflection as I turn 50 in 2 weeks' time, as I've reflected on it, what I've discovered is I'm not who I was. I've been transformed. As I've known more of this life that Jesus affords me, as I've known more of his joy, more of his peace, more of his love, more of his goodness. It's transformed me into who I am now. He's not left me where I was. Yep, I knew him as my refuge, as my comfort, but he's transformed me into who I am. And the wonder and beauty is that he's still my refuge and he's still transforming me. I'm not who I will be. And that excites me and causes me to continuously keep clinging to him, hiding myself in him, say, yes, please be my refuge. And my encouragement would be to you to do the same. Which brings me to land. And as I do, I wonder if I could ask the band just to come back. This is the last time I speak before I turn 50. And therefore I felt like it would be wrong if you're a regular Oasis not to give you one last equation. An equation that is not an equation, it's a formula. But I like to call them equations just to really wind the people up who struggle with the fact that I name things wrongly. And the last thing I want to leave you is this: Jesus equals refuge. Jesus equals refuge. This is what Jesus says to you and I. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. I felt God speak to me a couple of weeks ago just for this moment. I felt that this was to become like a cave to us. We don't gather to David, we gather to Jesus. And Jesus welcomes each and every one of us and says, are you weary? Are you burdened? Come. And he's longing to meet with you and he's longing to meet with me. And I'm just going to invite in a moment for you to stand if you want to. And then I'm going to pray for us and invite the Holy Spirit to come and minister to us. Because Jesus said it was better for him to go in order that he could send the Spirit, who comes and dwells within us in order that we understand that God comes and meets with every single one of us. And Jesus will then come and minister through the Spirit to each and every one of us, and where we come and offer our stuff, Jesus is going to come and start to minister to us. And so we're just going to get the band to start to play. And I wonder if where you are, you could just stand if you want to, and then I'm going to pray for you. Just where you are, just take a moment, maybe close your eyes just so you don't get distracted by other things, other people. And just encourage you, just put your hands out. And as in you putting your hands out, what you're doing is a physical action of what's going on inside. And in putting your hands out, what you're saying is, Jesus, I just want to present me to you at the moment. And I just want you to take a moment to say what the me to you is at this point. Is it we're feeling weak, vulnerable, weary? I'm feeling that at the moment. Troubled, despairing, broken, in need, rejected, hopeless. Maybe it's something else. Just say, Jesus, here it is. And having presented it to Jesus, Jesus says, I now come to meet with you. Jesus, I just pray, come now by your Holy Spirit. We just say you're so welcome here. Holy Spirit, I pray, just come and meet with every individual. You know exactly what we're living with at the moment. And Jesus, I thank you that you're one who comes and is able to help lift the burdens that we're carrying. And that your promise is that you want to be our refuge. The Holy Spirit, you want to come and cause us to know the wonder that Jesus is our refuge. That you want to come, Holy Spirit, in order that we'd know more of the refreshment that Jesus is able to bring. I pray now, would you come and would you start to minister to our hearts that we'd know rest in the deepest of places, in the very souls of our being. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Just encourage you just where you are. Just keep open to God. Like for some of us, we just start to feel the emotion. Just we realize it's like, yep, this has just felt hard. And let's not be afraid of that. It's a safe place. Safe place of vulnerability. Jesus is one who is safe with our vulnerability. Where you are, just keep receiving. Just this deep sense of just God coming and ministering his peace. There are moments where we minister to each other. It just felt today this is a moment where God just wanted to minister to us. I love that illustration at the beginning that Jean brought of the root system of the trees. And I felt like, we encourage one another, but actually the root system is built on him. And I felt just this spirit just coming in this moment and just coming to just breathe life in different ones of us. Just pray for those online. You're not disconnected at this point in time. Just thank you so much for being here. We know that you can't be in the room for various reasons, but we're with you. The Spirit be present with you in your room. Let's pray that. Come bring your peace, King Jesus. Come bring your presence, King Jesus. Jesus, I want to pray, would you continue to minister to us? Jesus, I thank you. Your invitation to be our refuge isn't for the cave only, it's for life. And I pray we'd be a bunch of people that know we're in deep, profound need of your refuge. We never get over it, we never go round it, we just keep running to you. And I want to pray that we be those that continuously point one another to you as a refuge. But also we be those who come and call others who don't know it to know it. We ask that, Jesus.